Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Godspeed, John Glenn.
10, 9, ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And John Glenn then became the first man, first American man, to orbit the Earth. He passed away yesterday at the age of 95, and America is stopping to remember the life and times of this this amazing American hero. And joining us on the line right now to talk more about that is astronaut Clayton Anderson, who flew aboard many shuttle missions. Good morning to you, Mr. Anderson. Good to have you with us here on Mornings on the Mall.
Hey, great to be with you this morning. Thank you.
Well, let's talk about the inspiration that John Glenn was to the astronauts who followed on in the years that followed. Did you, as a young boy, did you have a chance to study the life and time of John Glenn? Was he an inspiration to you?
He was. He flew in 1962. At that time, I was only 3 years old. But as I grew older, my mother tells the story of when I was 6, and I told people that I was going to be a Mercury or Gemini astronaut, and I wasn't too influenced by John personally until I actually met him in 1998. He had returned to Johnson Space Center in Houston to start training on his shuttle mission, and I was a baby astronaut, having just been selected in the same year, and we met at church in Webster, Texas, at Webster Presbyterian. And I was pretty much in awe. I knew exactly who he was. He had no idea who I was.
And did you then train alongside him as it went forward?
We didn't train alongside him, but we did learn from his experience. So as he went through his training flow and then flew and came back to Earth, he was very good at debriefing all of the rookie astronauts that were in the class in 1998 and telling us the differences between when he flew his Mercury mission and when he flew his shuttle mission, which was very helpful to us as we were learning the ropes.
So I wonder if you can sort of give us an insider's view of how large John Glenn loomed there when you were training as an astronaut. My understanding and what I hear is that he really was larger than life. Even when he wasn't in the room, John Glenn's presence was in the room because of the trail that he blazed back in 1962. Is that true?
I think it's very true. John was a very humble man. He had a good sense of humor. He was pretty quiet. But when he spoke, of course, everyone listened. And then to know that he was there training again and influencing people in the Mission Control Center, in the astronaut office, in the training organization, he was there and very gracious, but he was larger than life, given what he'd accomplished, right? When those guys got on a rocket ship in the 60s, they didn't know if they were going to come back safely or not.
Yeah.
And because of his courage and his willingness to take that risk, guys like me could fly with a much higher confidence level on the space shuttle.
And yet, it's so interesting. You're so right. And of course, much has been said about the danger that John Glenn put himself in and his fellow Mercury 7 astronauts put themselves in those early days of the space program. And now, you know, people say we take space travel for granted. Well, why is that? And is that a good thing? I mean, you look at the Challenger disaster, you look at the Columbia disaster. The space shuttle wasn't like it was without risk.
I think that's true of many things, right? When you and I get on an airplane today, we assume a lot of risk, and we trust that system and the people that are involved with it are doing the absolute best to keep us safe. And I believe astronauts have that same trust in what NASA does and the people that support us. On any given day, something can go wrong that we simply don't understand or have not been made aware of yet. And that's where that risk and that willingness to take that risk is important. But again, we rely on the team of people, the thousands of people on the ground, that they've done their job to the best of their ability to keep us all safe no matter what we do.
You know, I like you, was a child of the space race. I grew up watching it. I was six when John Glenn launched into space. But I remember being excited about the space program, about being inspired by the space program, by being really, really curious about all the things that were to be discovered and the things that were still to be learned because of the space program. And I don't think we have that sense about us today. I mean, they keep talking about Mars, but it seems so far off. Are you concerned about the state of our current space program?
Very much so. I think I agree totally with what you're saying. You know, back then, there was no social media, there were no video games, there was no 24-hour news network, there was no ability to watch Netflix and binge-watch TV shows for hours. You know, so the space program was able to take a very important place in the daily lives of folks in America, and I think we need that again. The issue for me is today we have a dripping faucet that drips money into the NASA budget from the U.S. government. And until someone steps up and opens that spigot a little bit and makes it a steadier stream and not a dripping flow, I think we're going to be in the situation we are today. We need a good common goal. Maybe it's Mars, maybe it's the moon. But once you set that goal, you also have to set the resources to achieve that.
Yeah, having a goal is not enough. You got to put your money where your mouth is, right?
Exactly. But again, that money is being competed for by so many organizations. I mean, we're trillions of dollars in debt, right? We're, you know, money's going to all these different places, so space is an afterthought. But I do know that no president will ever cancel the space program because they certainly don't want that to be part of their legacy.
Our guest is astronaut Clayton Anderson. And to bring it back a little bit to John Glenn, but within context of what you're saying, the reason that John Glenn was so important at that time in 1962 is that it was the Cold War. And the Soviets, who had nuclear weapons, they were showing that they could launch a craft to orbit the planet and hover over the nation's capital or hover over a neighborhood in Iowa. This was a military play more than anything else. I mean, the Soviets and their space program were seen as an existential threat to our country. That threat doesn't loom anymore. Doesn't that sort of explain why we're not pouring all the money into the space program at this time? I mean, let's face it, John Glenn, he was a military hero before he was an astronaut.
That's all true. I would challenge people to think of it in a slightly different way today. If you look at the International Space Station, where we're working hand-in-hand with Russia, I believe we can say with relative certainty that when you're flying in space together, you're not going to fight each other on the Earth. And I think that that's kind of the tact we may need to look at in the future. For example, if we're concerned with China, perhaps we need to negotiate and fly with them in space, because I believe truly that if we take this international tact and work together in outer space, it will lessen the possibilities for difficulties on the ground. It won't do it 100%, but when you don't have that big space race between a nuclear power and the United States, you have to look to a different way to motivate what you're trying to do, and I think that's one way we can look at it.
All right.
With certainty.
Well, as we sit back, and these are great things to talk about, as we sit back and remember the legacy of John Glenn. Astronaut Clayton Anderson, thank you for joining us. Greatly appreciated.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.